Loving brothers and sisters in Christ, members of branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all believers who are attending this service on the internet all over the world, and GCN viewers, God the Father wants to give blessings to His children. He is the good God who wants to give us His mercy and peace. Especially, He is telling us in detail the ways to receive blessings. He has told us in detail how we can resolve our fundamental problems. I hope now all of you will receive spiritual and material blessings. I hope none of you will be sick or financially poor, but you will reap 30, 60, or 100 times more fruits by sowing with faith. Sowing doesn't only mean monetary offering. Your service and voluntary works will give you the blessing of your soul's prosperity and physical health. But all answers and blessings are given according to the justice and love of God. Namely, God can answer you when the amount of our deeds of faith is filled up according to the justice of God. The amount of deeds of faith will be different according to the answer we want to get from God. But some people just demolish the deeds that they have been accumulating. Nobody would actually want to do that. But in fact, many people do destroy the deeds they have stored up, being unable to control their lips. Of course, if we commit sins, it creates a world of sin, and we cannot receive any answer or blessing. But even though we do not actually commit sins, sometimes we delay our own answer and blessing because of the words in our mouths. Some inappropriate words will break down the deeds of faith we have been storing up. We have to continually build up with faith, but we repeat the cycle of building and demolishing again and again. Let me tell you more. As I told you before, when you pile up rewards in heaven, you receive blessings on the earth. However, even though you have piled up rewards in heaven, you may destroy them all. It is when you commit the sin that leads you to death. Since it is the sin that leads you to death, there is no need to pile up rewards in heaven. All will become nothing. However, if you commit sin that doesn't lead you to death, then only the portion of the rewards will disappear. But what you piled up before remains. You have to discern well. There are words that lead you to death as well. If it is the word of blaspheming and standing against the Holy Spirit, then all your rewards in heaven will be destroyed. If you repent from the depths of your heart and break down the word of sin before God, then you have to start from the beginning. You are in the first level of faith. Then, you don't even have rewards piled up yet. And even when you commit the sin leading to death, since you don't have faith yet and don't know the truth either, God will not tell you committed a grave sin. So, if you are in the first or second level of faith, don't worry, since you still have the faith of baby. However, you have the third level of faith. If you commit the sin leading to death, you fall down to the first or second level of faith. You are about to fall to death. You became a strong young man, but you went back to a year-old baby. Doesn't mean something is seriously wrong with you and you are about to die? As I told you, if you commit the sin leading to death through your lips, all rewards are destroyed. However, if you speak aggressively, unusually, I mean, aggressively, usually, your viewers are destroyed as you speak harshly. But what you piled up before still remains. So, in this service, I will speak to you under the title, Set a Guard Over My Mouth. I hope you will gain life and strength through this sermon so that you will receive all the answers and blessings that God the Father has prepared for you. I've been preaching about how to break down the word of sin before God, and today's message is like the conclusion. But what I've been said so far is not all. If I will tell you in more details, it will take several months. But we can't do that. So I'm talking about it in a short summary over a few weeks. If you keep these words in summary in mind and keep them, you'll be able to receive not only comprehensive blessings, but also blessings to your heart's content, as well as blessing of health. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, please repeat after the title of today's message loudly, Set a Guard Over My Mouth. A guard is somebody who keeps and guards something. It can also mean somebody who is hardworking in a particular matter. So, if we set a guard over our mouth, we can always control our words. But Matthew 15:18 says, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." Matthew 12:35 also says, "The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." If your heart is good, you will bring forth what is good. You will speak good words and you will do good things. But if your heart is evil, you will speak evil words, you will do evil things. Thus, if you come into Holy Spirit, you will have only fullness of goodness without any evil, and you won't even have to set a guard over your mouth. You will have self-control completely, so you'll be able to automatically control the words from your heart. You'll be able to speak the most appropriate words according to the time, space, and the listener. But since you will still have evil remaining in you before you go into spirit, you have to set a guard over your mouth. Even very good words may not be edifying or glorifying God if they are uncontrolled. Also, even if you speak with a good intention, the listener may not accept it as it was intended. Therefore, I urge you to set a guard over your mouth until you go into Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean? By setting a guard over my mouth, during this time, I'll give you three guidelines, and I hope you will keep them in mind. If you remember and pay attention to these three guidelines about every word you say, this is the meaning of setting a guard over your mouth. First, you should not say anything that is not beneficial. Repeat after me. You should not say anything that is not beneficial. There are words that are not beneficial for both the speaker and the hearer. All words of untruth are disadvantageous, but please keep in mind a couple of examples I'm giving you now and be careful about them. First, telling a lie is a minus, and not only that, it is detrimental for both the speaker and hearer. Telling a lie is to cheat others and it will harm the hearer. The hearer might face material or mental damage if he believes the lie to be true. Telling a lie also harms the speaker. It is a work of flesh to tell a lie, and it is a sin before God too. Thus, I hope you will not tell even little lies or try to hide something by telling a lie. Irrelevant answers are two words that are inexpedient. Irrelevant answers are answers that have no relation to the question. The person who asked the question cannot get an answer when irrelevant answers are given. Further conversation will be possible only after getting an answer to the question. There are only one or two out of hundreds who wouldn't give me irrelevant answers. It's weird. Even though I talked about it many times here, they still give me irrelevant answers. There are some people I cannot give a piece of good advice because they give me irrelevant answers to my question. I should finish the conversation in a minute or two, but they don't give me the answer I want to hear. So I cannot go on with them. I cannot make them realize. It is especially true with spiritual counseling. For the counselor to help the counselee's problem must be understood. So when a counselor asks the question and then he gets irrelevant answers, it's difficult to understand the problem. It will be hard to solve the problem of the counselee. Then it is not only a waste of time for the counselor, but the counselee cannot get resolution. This is really useless. I hope you will try to change the habit of giving irrelevant answers. If you have no heart of telling a lie at all, you will not give irrelevant answers. You can reduce irrelevant answers just by listening to the other person attentively. In many cases, you give irrelevant answers because you don't focus on what the other person is saying, but you listen by your own thoughts. Giving irrelevant answers is not a great sin, but it is a very useless and meaningless thing. Of course, often there are lies or words that put the blame on others contained in irrelevant answers. Or you give irrelevant answers to make an excuse. These words are even more improper before God. Or you give irrelevant answers to conceal your wrongdoings. I hope you will thoroughly keep in mind the uselessness of irrelevant answers. Even jesting or some of the popular expressions of the world are also meaningless to believers. Jesting is something said or done to elicit laughter. There is a joke or jest a lot and cannot be taken seriously. Such people don't appear to be trustworthy, so we find it difficult to share secrets with them or give them important work. It is difficult for those who enjoy jesting and telling jokes to go into spirit. For example, some people make others laugh by embarrassing a particular person in order to create a funny situation. If that person becomes upset, they will just say, "It's just a joke," and they are not even sorry. In joking around, there are many exaggerations and things that are not really right. All these words are not right before God's children who are holy. Ephesians 5:4 says, "And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." It's the same with popular expressions of the world. The trend of the world can be found in those words. When you use such expressions, you might also be influenced by the worldly fashions. Even though they don't contain bad meanings, it is better not to speak such words if you are really longing for a New Jerusalem. Some may say, "How can you get along with others then?" Now, can you really not make friends with others only because you don't tell a joke? Since the students of Manmin speak only the good words and they are greatly loved by teachers and classmates, many Manmin students are leaders in their schools. They study well. They are trusted by classmates and teachers. People say, Mamin students are truly different. It is the same in your workplace, isn't it? The popular expression of the world is of no use. You have proper words, but why should you use such expression? I don't know about such expressions. I'd like to make an example, but I don't know any. Even if someone says it, I just let it go because I don't input it. I don't know any popular expressions in my mind. How grateful it is. How grateful I am. So I wouldn't say such words. There is another important reason why we shouldn't use useless and meaningless words. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. No matter what you speak, you will give an account for every careless word. You will be questioned. Why did you use such words on this day? Don't consider it trivial. It will surely happen. You will be judged for what you speak. Of course, if you repent of it, saying careless and meaningless words will be forgiven. But the problem is that there are many careless words that you just say and then forget. If you don't set a guard over your mouth, you may build a wall of sin before, and it is serious. Why? Because you don't remember what you speak. Some people don't remember what they just spoke. They say, When did I say that? I didn't. They just said it, but they don't remember. They don't remember what they spoke yesterday or an hour ago. So, it is the problem. You spoke some words that were not proper, but you don't remember. If you don't remember, you cannot make the word of sin broken. So, please, don't speak careless words since you are the holy children of God. So many of you made a word of sin because of this careless word. But there isn't a way to break the wall down. You may be able to do it if the Holy Spirit reminds you of it or points you in your dream. Otherwise, you don't have a way to break the wall down. I hope you will be more careful not to say such meaningless words. I urge you to develop a habit of thinking before you say anything to determine whether or not what you say is beneficial for both you and the listener. Proverbs 10:19 also says, When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. When you speak much, it's natural to make mistakes. Then, what are beneficial words for God's children? Ephesians 4:29 says, Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. As said, beneficial words are words that give grace to and edify others. They are the words that give glory to God, plant faith into others, and give life to others. I hope you will be able to speak these good words all the time. One more thing you should remember is that you should not carry on conversations about worldly things in the church, including the church grounds. I hope you have only spiritual conversations that give grace and edify each other. Brothers and sisters in Christ, to set a guard over our mouth, you should not say anything that goes too far. Going too far here means going beyond limits of position and standing. So some arrogant persons are likely to say things that go too far. Those who are humble will not say anything that goes beyond what is acceptable in any situation. You must know God is listening to whatever you say. Examples of words that go too far are words of passing judgment and condemnation. It's the same with criticism on others. Men who are mere creatures do not have any right to judge or condemn anybody. The right to judge and condemn solely belongs to God the Creator. James 4:11-12 says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. Don't speak against each other. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. It is God who made the law, and he speaks against the law and judges the law. But you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Since God made the law, you should be a doer of the law, but you become a judge of the law. It is God who is the judge, but you play like a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor?" God is the only judge. But you become a God and judge your brothers. But there are even people who judge servants of God, whom God loves. How grave their sin is. They judge the servant of God who manifests signs and wonders in the power of God, and they condemn the servant of God. How grave it is! God gave him the power and allowed him to manifest signs and wonders. God is with the servant. Since they judged such a servant of God, it is the same as judging God himself. They became judges. How grave their sin is to judge, condemn, gossip, and criticize the servant of God who is loved by God. It is like judging God. When people criticized Moses, God said they did it to God. When people disobeyed Samuel, God said people disobeyed God. Why? Because they were the servants of God with. So their sin is grave. Your unbelieving husbands have no reason to judge and condemn me. They don't know me. They haven't seen me, but they judge me and condemn me and gossip about me. How can their business prosper? Also, they become sick. You should know that it has been the word of sin, and it is such a grave sin, and that you should repent from the depths of your heart. You should not speak even a useless word. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you who judge your neighbor? If God's children who have received salvation complain and express resentments, it is also going too far. We would have fallen into eternal fire of hell had we not met God. But we are saved by God's grace, and we can go into the beautiful heavenly kingdom now. We can be thankful just with this fact. But if we complain about our difficult environment and situations or hold grudges against anybody, then it means we have forgotten the grace of salvation. But those who understand that they are saved from the fire of hell, namely those who know the limits of their position, will give thanks even in difficult situations. They will say, "I'm thankful just to be saved. I give thanks for the love of Father God who gives me the lesson through this hardship. It's the same when we do something for the kingdom of God. Those who are humble and know their position and responsibilities will accept any work with thanks and obey. They will say, "Thank you for giving this task to someone like me. I am thankful that I can do something for God's kingdom." On the other hand, there are also those who say, "Why give me such a trivial task? Why should I have to do this kind of work?" Instead of accepting it with thanks, they complain about it. These words in complaints and ungratefulness are words that go too far. How did the Virgin Mary react when she heard from an angel she would conceive and give birth to a baby? It is impossible with human understanding for a virgin to be pregnant. It's medically and scientifically impossible. It's never taken place since the beginning. Moreover, in those days, if a single woman became pregnant, she would be condemned and stoned. Still, the Virgin Mary accepted it, saying, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." God was searching for this kind of woman and made her conceive a baby through the Holy Spirit. God didn't choose just anyone. "Behold, the born servant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." She could have made an excuse. How could she say yes? Amen. She would have been stoned to death. But the Virgin Mary said, "Amen." It was the same with the Canaanite woman whose daughter was set free from demon possession. In order to reveal her faith, Jesus said to her, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Namely, he compared this Gentile woman with a dog, for she was not a Jew. Nevertheless, she did not get disappointed, give up, or get upset, thinking she was insulted and rejected. But in Matthew 15:27, she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." She humbled herself completely before Jesus, who could solve her problem, and asked him with unchanging faith. As a result, she received complete resolution of her daughter's problem. Through the above examples, I hope you will understand and find a way for resolving your problems and receive blessings. Loving brothers and sisters in Christ, to set a guard over our mouth, thirdly, we should use positive words and confession of faith in every kind of situations. Why don't you try not making any kind of negative remarks in your daily life? It's better not to say, "It seems it won't work out. I don't think it's possible." I suggest you make it a habit to say only positive words and profession of faith, such as, "It will work out well. We can do it. Nothing is impossible for those who believe." Please make it your habit. How can I make such a confession? The reality tells me it's impossible. Well, that's why it is the confession of faith. Even though we say, "The reality seems to make it impossible, I can't do it," if God the Almighty is with you, it becomes possible. If God works and if angels help, it will be possible. No matter what I encounter, I never make a negative confession. I look at things with optimistic view. I take everything optimistically. Why? It is God who makes it happen. God, the Lord Almighty, is with me, and He listens to my prayer, and He makes what I desire happen. I trust Him and believe in 100%, and I know God loves me, so I make an optimistic confession with my lips all the time, and it is done as I confess. The impossible turns into the possible. Why is it difficult? If you do as I have taught you, No matter what situation you fall into, you will rejoice and give thanks and pray without ceasing. If your lips utter negative words, it will also have negative effects on others. It will make the mood gloomier and shadowy. It will take away motivation and cause discouragement. But positive words will make the make the mood brighter and be more encouraging. It gives them confidence and strength for them to stand up again. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." According to what you speak, you can go to either hell or heaven, or you can succeed or fail. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So the more pessimistic words you speak, the more difficult the things will go. People say something is killing them or driving them crazy, and so bad things keep on happening. It becomes their habit to say such words. Why don't you say, "I can do it"? Then things will get better. But with optimistic words of faith, even difficult things may turn out well. There are many biblical examples too. David did not see the reality or say anything negative when he fought Goliath. He only looked up to the Almighty God and went forward with a profession of faith. 1 Samuel 17:45-47 says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give you give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God of Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands.'" David was a mere small boy. His king and soldiers were trembling in fear. But this little boy made a confession of faith and stood before the giant. Even though he could be killed on the right spot, he made a confession of faith. He might look foolish. However, the confession of faith is powerful. Do you think God would sit back and do nothing for him? David trusted and believed God 100%. How could God stand still? And wars belong to God. David struck Goliath with a sling and a stone, and the stone hit Goliath in the forehead. God was pleased with David's faith and allowed Israel to win the victory very easily in a battle that was actually very difficult. David was very good at this. To save his sheep, he protected his sheep from lions and bears. It was not easy to do it with just one sling. Goliath was wearing a helmet and plate. It was not easy to find a focal point in his body and kill him. But God was with David, and David's stone exactly hit the focal point. Where was it? Goliath was wearing a helmet. There was only one. It was between the eyes. The stone struck this very point. As above, a profession of faith is very powerful. But there were also people who faced miserable consequences from negative words. It was the case with the 10 among the 12 spies who scouted the land of Canaan. God promised the sons of Israel many times that He would give them the land of flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of those spies spoke pessimistically after spying out the land of Canaan. It's written in Numbers 13:32-33. This negative and pessimistic report had bad impact on most of Israelites. If you make a negative confession, if you speak negative words, you make people around you stumble and undergo trials. You make bad impact on them. It caused them to have pessimistic thoughts, and soon they began to complain and express their resentment. But there were some people who made a positive profession among them. They were Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 14:7 through 9. The more difficult situation you are facing, I hope you will become more like Joshua and Caleb. You should never be like the 10 spies who drove the people into destruction with their negative reports. Don't be like these 10 spies, your servants of God, elders, and senior deacons. I hope you will receive answers and blessings with positive words of faith, such as, when God is pleased with us, we can do anything. When God is with us, everything is possible. If you are about to say something negative, you may even want to gag your mouth to keep from saying it. If you train yourself that way and always make positive professions, your heart and your environment will change. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Proverbs 13:2 says, from the fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good. Depending on what you speak and depending on the fruit of your mouth, you may receive either blessing or a curse. You can become wealthy or poor. You can get sick or healed. I talked about three ways to set a guard over our mouth so that we can enjoy abundant blessings. First, we should speak beneficial words rather than meaningless and careless words. Second, we should not say anything that goes too far. Third, we should always speak positive words of faith. It's so easy, isn't it? It is to set a guard over our mouth if we just keep these three points in mind and be careful. I hope you will now really set a guard over your mouth and keep your mouth in check very well. May you receive answers and blessings and give glory to God by in doing so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated disc, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.